Faith is a substance. Faith is the evidence we present. And faith is also what? A shield that we take up. Let's look at that, Ephesians 6. And all this will tell us why we need faith. Okay. All right. Chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 16. We're going to do something that will help you tonight. That really helped me to think more and be more critical about faith. I tell you why people don't think about faith. They don't do faith. They just think that. Actually, verse 16. For therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Let's read verse 13 first. I'm waiting for you guys. Have you found it? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. I'm able to withstand the evil day. I'm in the order to stand. Now, taking up the whole armor of God. Look at verse 16 now. Above all, this taking the armor, taking what? The shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked. So, the armor of God is given to us, and with that shield, that one is marked out for the devil to stop the devil and all that he can throw at us. So that, let's talk about, why do I need faith? You know, some people think like this. I got some senior, years ago when I started learning about faith, I got some senior people that will talk to us and confuse us. Some of them, we wonder, what should I choose? Some senior Christians believe that just leave everything in the hands of God. You just need to trust God. You don't have to do anything about faith. Just trust God. God will take care of everything for you. You don't have to talk about faith, using faith. I mean, God will take care of you. You just need to trust God. Now, you see, trusting God and faith are two different things. You know, Pastor, what do you mean? I can trust my dad to give me money or to buy the clothes for me or buy the shoes for me, but I can have money and buy it myself. Did you get the difference? Did you get what I just said? So we just think that you should just, you know, trust God. And just trust God. People do that a lot. Okay, God will take care of us. For instance, yeah, God will give you air, but you have to breathe it. If you are waiting to trust God for air to breathe, He's already given us the air. So what do? We just breathe it in. I know some of you are not getting what I'm saying. So a lot of time people think that God will just take care of us. I just need to trust God. Trust is more like you are leaning on God. But all of us know that the older a child gets, the more he should have to take care of himself or take care of herself. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Say that one more time. Don't just think that I just trust God. Jesus, when he was here on the sea, when there was a storm, just didn't trust God. He got up, talked to that thing, and he said, where is your faith? Let's go to Mark 4 and see that. So the very first obstacle to faith is that I don't need faith. I just need to trust God. He will take care of everything. God is giving you what himself will use to take care of the trouble. Did you get what I just said? It's like now, my dad can buy me shoes, clothes, but my dad can give me that money he's going to buy with and give me the money and say, go spend it so I can buy whatever I want. Look, people are afraid of faith. They think if you start talking like that, what about the sovereignty of God? What about God? Are you leaving God out? What about the will of God? The will of God is that you take care of things with what he has. You know, I'm trying to convince you about this. You know, because you think, am I sure that this is God or not? Right now, living outside your father's house, you don't think about that anymore. When you are small, not sure. But now, you don't have to call dad and say, can I just buy something? Can I just move out? Can I just take taxi? You don't do that anymore. You know what? You should be fit enough to know that that's where life runs. Some people believe that you are perpetually just waiting for God to do something for you. But then, you can on purpose use your faith. Just like God, are you getting what I'm saying? You're not just waiting for God to do it for you. So some people, when I was growing up as a Christian, I'm still growing up, they would just say, oh, just leave it to God. Just leave it to God. Just pray. Just trust him. Lean on him. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus and things like that. Fine. The sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. That's true. Hallelujah. But listen to me. God is sovereign over food, but he has put food to go to your belly, your stomach, to take care of hunger in your life. God will not come down to digest the food for us. He's given the job of digesting the food in his sovereignty to our stomach. So you better rely on your stomach and pass the food to your stomach, not to God, to do something about digesting it for you. Does that make some sense? Does that make some sense? So people say, now, Pastor, are you saying we should not trust God? Of course. I have to trust God even to use what he has given me. I'm relying on him. It's a form of trust, because if God said I can do this, I'm trusting that what he said will come to pass. For instance, Jesus said, I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Jesus said so I can rely on it. So when I'm challenged, I can say, I trust God enough to act accordingly. Make some sense? I have to approach from every angle to convince you. So when your doubt leaves, I can go out of this place. Is that right? So using faith doesn't mean that you are abandoning God. It simply means that you're actually going to do what God wants you to do in the first place. That means mature enough to handle things. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And so, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That's Jesus. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Another little boat were also with him. Next verse. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, let's imagine Jesus was like the God. Now, Jesus was God, Son of God, God the Son, in the boat. And there was a storm. Are you following? And great storm. And next verse. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they said, woke him up and said, Teacher, don't we care? Don't we care that we are perishing? Lord, don't you do something about this matter? Please do something about it. And Jesus woke up. What did he do? Next verse. He said, rebuke the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That's trusting God. That's trusting Jesus. That we can wake him up, he'll take care of us. But how did Jesus respond? Look at next verse. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now Jesus was challenging them, look, you do something about it. You have to wake me up. That's difficult to stay in this kind of climate where we never think about growth. You see, the lot of time in our climate around here, people are perpetually slaves. The Islamic teaching has entered too much to our thinking that we never see ourselves as God's children. Slaves don't grow, perpetually dependent upon their master. But children don't stay forever as children. They grow up. In fact, they only not only just grow, they use what their parents have as their own. Am I right? So in Christianity, there is actually sons and daughters of God that could make use of what their father has. Unlike in Islamic setup or this thing around us, a lot of things that we have around us is actually Islamic. Like faith. That's not called faith. F-A-T-E, not faith. That's F-A-T-E, what's going to be, going to be. That's F-A-T-E, that's faith. I went to Muslim school, so I know that kind of a thing. That's your destiny. You know, I don't know where I was last time. Destiny is not our language. Today, do you see pastors using the word destiny? They hardly use that word in the Bible. You know why they use it in the Bible? There is only one destiny for us, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Let's see that, Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. You there? Let's read one verse over there about destiny. People talk about. Look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to what? See that word? To be conformed. Not predestined to that 32. Not to marry or to have crazy kids. Are you hearing me? We want to go to heaven. That and lay down and tell God that I will not survive this life. I will be poor all the time. I will go through life and then that at whatever and then go to heaven. You think I'll do that if I have the chance? I will last to be born in the White House. Huh? Oh, no. So it's not just like that. God wants us to be children, grown up, mature. You know, as I'm talking now, I know I'm saying something that's difficult. Some of us just think, like I was talking about today, you know, say that pastor is always like that. But you know, this is so faith could be used. You don't have to wait. Okay, all right. Let's look at why faith. We have seen what faith is. Faith is a seed. Faith is a substance. Faith is a evidence. Faith is a shield to stop the devil. Right. So why do we have to do faith? We can see from all those things we just mentioned. Number one, why do we have to do faith? Why do I have to know about faith and use my faith and develop faith? Matthew 17, verse 19. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could not we cast it out? It's a demonic power that was tormenting somebody that they want to help. Are we here, everybody? Baladi, thank you. This hand is very good from my side over here. Are you hearing that in the hall too? Cool. Thank you. And next time we start fighting again. You know. Praise God. I'm always that kind of sound person. Why could we not cast it out? Why can't we throw it out? Now, anybody will read that verse and say, okay, what's the answer? Jesus said this, verse 20, because of your unbelief. Can you give us NLT verse? Oh, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them. It is a God's not powerful enough. Did you see that? People just think that because God is powerful enough, take care. I don't know. He said he could have said God's power didn't do it. He said no, because you don't have enough faith or you don't demonstrate faith. You know, nobody will say, why don't you breathe? Why don't you breathe? Because I'm waiting for God to give me oxygen. No, it's already here. It's how much you can take. If you can breathe it in, you have it. You don't breathe it in, it won't work. So, lot of things that are not changing your life is because you don't use faith. Look, I tell you the truth. Are we there next? Take a look. Everybody, are we here? Look at that verse again. I tell you the truth. Now, please, quickly. Everybody's looking that way. Thank you. I know. Have you finished looking? Thank you. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. So why do I have to talk about faith and do faith? Number one, if I want to move mountains, I have to talk about faith. Did you just get that? For instance, an engineer would discuss bulldozer. That's the way to move stuff. Am I right? If you discuss only cutlass, you're not moving mountain, you're not moving big things. So why do I discuss about faith? Because if I don't get my faith right, I won't move mountains. Huh?
Somebody said, I will tell God to move it for me.
But God, the Son, is telling us, you're going to have to use your faith to move the mountains. What is that? One of the hardest things for me as a Christian is to accept the fact that God won't do everything for me. Rather, God wants me to do something so that we can work together. It is the hardest thing for me to accept, but I'm getting used to that now. That certain things, God just wants you to do it yourself. For instance, like taking a walk to the road. Now, God won't work for you. He wants you to take a walk. That's why he gave you two legs. Correct? Correct? So to move mountains, God has given us faith. So if you develop it, there's something I like in this verse. Nothing will be impossible. No, but that doesn't sound good. Are you hearing me? That doesn't sound good. Because nothing will be impossible. To who? Let's go back to NKJV. I love it in NKJV. Give us an NKJV. Say, quickly. Can you give us NKJV? Quickly. I'm waiting. Or you are stuck here. Okay. Nothing will be impossible for who? Who, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move. And nothing. Do you know what? I love that. You know why I like that? Because nothing will be impossible for me. Wow. It may take, you know, that t-shirt I was wearing. What did he say again now? just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's impossible, something like that. You know, all right. Nothing will be impossible for me. You know, this verse, for me, is a shock. If Peter had said this, I would have said, Peter is talking for God. But this is the Son of God talking himself. I mean, just like Jesus walking and saying, I say, if you have faith, use your faith. Nothing will be impossible for you. Huh? Just imagine Jesus talking and saying, so if you have faith, you say to this man, nothing will be impossible for you. Hey, man. That first of all jacked me and moved me. And are you sure? But Jesus is saying, so I cannot lie. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, my heart won't pass away. So why do I need faith? Because how many of you want things to be possible for you here? Oh, thank you. So that's why we need faith. We have to walk with our faith. Nothing. In fact, let me show you some more a little bit about this. Let's dig more into this. Let's look at Mark 9 and Mark 10. We'll look at those two passages in the Bible. Mark 10. Let's look at Mark 10 first. Verse 27. Mark 10. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, what is it? It is impossible, but not with God. See that? For with God, let me finish the rest. All things are possible. All of us agree with that. But look at Mark 9. That's just before Mark 10. Mark 9. Verse 23. Interesting. Jesus said to him, the same Jesus, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, we just heard, all things are possible with God, right? With men, it is impossible. But he said, if you can't believe, beside God to whom all things are possible, there's another class of people that are in the class of God. Interesting. Sound really way out. They are in the same class with God. He said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. But he said, well, all things are possible to him who believes too. So we should see that believing put us in the same class with God. Now, when you say that, people say, the jack, they say, how can you say that? But Jesus says so. He said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So I believe like this, that faith put us in the same realm with God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. It excited me 40 years ago. It still excited me till now. I'm not honestly, you know, it's still brand fresh for me. All things are possible. If you believe, he didn't say, if you go to church regularly, if you fast, if you give. He said, if you believe. So that's why faith is, the word believe there is the word to exercise faith. He who exercises faith is in the same class with God. What? All things are possible. Now, I know, I don't know about you. I have things that are not possible in my life yet. Anybody here, some things I'm still, you know, but this is a blank check. All things are possible to him who believes. And Pastor, last time I wanted to do something, forget about that, let's listen to this one first. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. It helps me a lot of time. I don't know about you. It helps me a lot of time to take this kind of truth. All things are possible. Hallelujah. I'm an Abekuta here. All things are possible. You see, that helped me not to put my faith in any location, in any place. Wherever I find myself, if I do have faith, all things are possible. I mean, look at some of these women that believe God in the Bible. They are not educated. I don't think the woman of issue of blood really went to school so much. Okay, the soldier went to school a little bit, academy, military. Am I right? But they just swung to God's realm. They just believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. So why do we need to do faith? Because I want mountains to move. And why do I have to do faith? Because all things are possible to him that begins to do faith. All things are possible. I'm saying that again and again. All things are possible. We don't have to think. Of course, I'm not saying all things are instant. I didn't say that. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say all things are instant. I didn't say that. I said all things are possible. Even God to work out our salvation took some several years. Finally, sent Jesus in the New Testament took some years around the apostles. But it was possible at the end of the day. All things are possible. Tell yourself, all things are possible with God. Say that with me. All things are possible with God. I tell yourself, all things are possible with him who believes. And I do believe, so all things are possible with me, along with God. Praise God, somebody. Once in a while, you know, people take ganja. You know ganja? They take some smoke cannabis to feel high. They take some alcohol. This kind of verse I take to feel high. Are you hearing me? This kind of things I smoke. I smoke things like this. Are you hearing me? The pastor was smoking. I'm smoking verses like this so that it will enter, become my part of my inspiration to because things are getting more difficult. People think that you just can't. And if you notice the world today, they have been pushing the boundary a lot. They're pushing the boundary. Technology, science, because people just believe that they can make it happen. In fact, God said in Genesis chapter 6, 11, that these people have one speech and one language, and what they thought to do, they can do it. Let's divide their language. And I think that's where the problem is, because much of faith is of what you speak. And if you start dividing yourself, you won't get so much done. You know, when you put your heart to go, then you come over here again, you go, I better shoot for 100 and get even 40, than shoot for 2 and go 2. I better aspire a little bit some more. I'm not saying I'm going to have 100% result, but this is available. Next reason why we must talk about faith. Why faith? Hebrews 11, verse 6. Very important. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Why must I talk about faith? Why must I think about faith? But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. You see, he didn't say may believe. Must believe that God is and that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, this is so important. This is so important. This is so important. Are you hearing me? This is so important to know that this is your coming to service. This is your reading your Bible. This is your praying. It has a reward. You can't see the reward yet. I'm telling you. We come over here. Sometimes, can I be honest with you? My mind thinks like this. Ah, this is what they come over here. They listen. God, are you really doing anything in their lives? God, are you really moving their lives? I don't have physical substance to prove that you are coming here to show physically kind of a thing. But I just have to believe that God is going to reward you. I just have to believe that. Praise God. That's why I'm excited. Some people just think that this doesn't work anymore. I believe it's going to work because it's a rewarder. Those who seek him diligently. So I'm not going to quit. Just because it doesn't work today doesn't mean that I'm going to quit. I'm just going to be diligent about it. And can I warn you? God actually sometimes just let us prove himself and prove ourselves before him. So he won't do everything. Can I show you? Judges 3. Judges. Book of Judges. Look at verse 1. These are the nations which the Lord left, that I might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. Did you hear that? God didn't let the leaders overcome all these nations, so he left some for the individual people. Next verse, look at it. This was only so that the generation of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. Next verse. Namely, 5 lords, immense, all of them. I think that God will never let any pastor, any parent, any friend solve all your problems. He will never let somebody solve all your financial problem, your emotional problem. God will never let any church solve all your financial problem, all your spiritual problems, all your emotional problems. God will never allow that, because where is your own growth coming in? All of us do that with our children. We want them to go out of our houses. We have nice houses. But we need to go out so they can build something for their own lives. I mean, can you just imagine you follow your children, you pay the school fees, you get them to the exam, or write the exam for them. You know, they're going to be weak all their lives. Hallelujah. By the way, the way I'm talking, some people don't like this way I'm talking like this. Just go do everything for you. You know, do everything for you. But, you know, so you're going to, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. That's a very major reason. that if I don't get up in faith and trust God, work with God, use my faith, I'm not pleasing God. Some people think that you please God by removing all the earrings and, you know, don't do anything like that and just look and then you're holy. You know, no. That's not it. You want to please God? Step out in faith. You know, I noticed something about Jesus when he was here. People that do faith, they impress him a lot. Like the soldier who said, don't come to my, just speak the word. Bible said Jesus was shocked. He was surprised. He said, I've not found faith like this in Israel. Now, all the religious leaders, they made him angry. Am I right? The Pharisees, Sadducees, they were religious. They have all their garments. They have all that kind of things. I start meddling now. A lot of these, my friends, think that when they wear all these bishop things, they're impressing God. They're just impressing themselves. What kind of clothes? It's, you use your faith. You put faith in. That's why you impress God. Not by, you know, stand for some. No, that doesn't impress God. What impresses God is that you believe him. You trust him. You use his faith. You use your faith. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. All things are possible to him who believes. And God is really pleased when we believe, when we use our faith. Hallelujah. You know, for several years, I didn't really get that right. At the beginning, I started learning faith, but after a while, I thought, you know, we don't have to really talk about this faith. God will take care of everything. God will take care of everything. Can I make you laugh? I used to tell the story years ago, if you remember it. There was a man that had a garden. The garden was very beautiful, nice. And then the pastor just came, you know, the pastors usually. He said, see what God has done. The pastor said, the farmer said, interesting, you'll have seen what God was doing before I came here. Are you hearing me? It was thick bush. It was plain bush. Then together working with God, we made this kind of thing. It's nice. You know, some people, you know, they just want to impress us. They come around, and something happened to them. Say, now God do. Yeah? All these kind of things, you know. Now God do. Okay. What did you do? Nothing. You know, you do something too. You have to better believe God or trust God or give something. You know, to give us that kind of thing. It sounds really humble, but actually it's not true. Because you don't find that their way. It's like, you're saying, how do you get to Lagos? Now God. Which car do you take? Now God. Which road did you take? Now God. Remember Alamisi? He escaped the prison from England, got to Nigeria. They said, how did he get here? He said, now God. that's just trickster. That's Aliyah the angel. God, get this done. And when we see that kind of, that's why we like testimony. Testimonies are good to help us, encourage us. Look at Hebrews 13. This will help. By pleasing God. Hebrews 13. Just talking about why do we need faith? Oh, time's really gone. There's this verse we usually read, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, see, people read this verse and just think, this is a conclusion of a statement from verse 7. Look at verse 7 now. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Now look at it. Whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their what? That means they acted in faith, like the woman of the issue of blood, like the centurion man, like Peter. They acted in faith, and something came out, outcome from there, and he said, we should follow their faith. Do you know why we can follow their faith? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can work for them, he can work for us too. Same believing God. Hallelujah. Do you get that now? You know, Pastor, why do you teach like this? Because I have to convince myself. I don't teach it because I just feel like teaching, you know. If I don't convince myself like that and get, let me tell you where I learned my skill from of teaching like this. Acts 17, I'm sure you. And that's what we don't have so much anymore. We have to be convinced. The early people that came to bring us Christianity, they just come and tell you, Babe, Koribe, Esamise. No, they were not like that. That's why, you see, in Africa, you can be really deceived. You can do a crusade like this, throw a crusade. And you see, how many of you want to follow Christ? You see everybody come out. I've been there before. You see, and then they take camera and take their pictures. And then they'll be shocked. Tomorrow, they're back to mosque, or they are back to one Uru festival. And you wonder, they all put up their hands. You know why? They just believe that whatever you are distributing, look at my hands up for it. They never get convinced. We are not convinced of it, we won't stay with you. You know, sometimes people think that just by applying more power, just by making more noise. You know, we have one clock in our toilet. We have a clock in our toilet that just stopped working. So I tried to put the battery there. It's not working. So I've tried to force the battery because then I turned the battery because it's, you know, because it won't make any connection. The same way, you just make some noise, look spiritual, do all kind of thing like that, march up and down. You know, I just wait for the results. You know, that's what you wait for. People can go to exam hall. Everybody's writing furiously. Just wait for the results. When it comes out, you will show where we all stand. You know, when I talk like this, it can be very frustrating sometimes. Listen, so we need to be convinced. In fact, that's what faith is. Faith is conviction. Faith is being convinced. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1 before we go down to what I want to quote about Paul's style of teaching. Look at, okay, faith is, give us an Amplified Bible. Quickly. Faith. Now, faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be explained by physical senses. That means something happens out of you, just more on the surface. You know, faith is not some kind of unconscious, supra, bam, I got faith. No, faith is you are convinced. That woman said, after hearing, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Centurion man said, Lord, you don't have to come. Just speak the word only. And he gave the reason why. He said, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go. And he was not even quoting scriptures now. Just giving real life. Jesus said, I never seen any faith like this. See, some Christians think that if they just kind of cram the Bible inside of them, that will generate faith. No, it's faith. It's Bible being understood, convinced about, to step on. Am I making some sense? Really, the best way to see faith is like a lawyer. That you prove your case enough. Oh, Pastor, do you have to prove your case to God? Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Take a look at this verse. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case. Let me be acquitted. Did you hear that? Put me in remembrance. You know, it's simply our children do that. They say, Dad, but you told me that you are going to buy the thing as we are resuming school. Kids have that brilliant memory to tell you those things. You know, mom, you said that. Did I say that? You did. And they can be very smart when they record what you said. Mom, this is your voice. Then what? Just dash it off. I said, so I'm not doing it this time. She said, go away. I said, all right. Do that two or three times. They don't trust your word anymore. So we need to be convinced. Let's go to Acts 17. Try and bring up things. God, why don't you? I don't understand. Make it clearer. Let's go. See. Acts 17, verse 2. And then Paul, as his custom, see, that's where I'm learning from. Paul, as his custom was, went into them. And for three Sabbaths, what did he do? He reasoned with them from the scriptures. Next verse. Explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer, rise again from the dead. And saying, did Jesus appear to you? It's the Christ. Look at next verse. And some of them were what? Oh, see that? They were persuaded. So faith is persuasion. You persuaded, for instance, that this is work. I'm just only just, you know, this is one of the biggest hurdles for people. you know, this fan is working. It's reasonable. Is that not true? We plug it. We know we can increase the power there. Huh? So, tell somebody beside you, reason with God. Agree with his word. Be convinced by his promises. That's what makes faith so beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. So, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That I want to please God, so I do faith. Now, why should we talk about faith finally? Because it takes faith to stop the devil. Interesting. Somebody said, just trust God, devil will stop. That's not true. I know many who are godly, the devil is tormenting them. Praise God. You know, recently I had a sad case. It's an elderly man who had grown up in a church, traditional church, where they just raise money all the time. And then this older man was in trouble. And you know what he was saying? When I had the person tell him what he said, I felt so sad. I felt so sad. You know, he said, Abubu eni musi ni church. When eka sele musi, kini timo go through things like this. Why am I? You know, it sounds so harrowing. It sounds so painful for one. When I had it, I felt so sad. Tonight, it's just wonderful. We're going to want to do some other things tonight. But if Ephesians 6, one more time, we read it at the beginning of this, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, you take it yourself, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked one. You take it and put it in the face of the devil. No, I choose to receive from God. I refuse what you are telling me. I stand against you. People think, this is where some of these people, you know, we have these two extremes. Some people over here, they are screaming at the devil. Devil, leave me. Devil, we're going to go. They're on this side. Because now, but they are screaming and going to night vigils. They're going to stop the devil. That's one group over there. The second group over here that just believe that don't worry about the devil. God will take care of us. These ones become meat for the devil. Beat them about them. This other one over here, they get worked out and get tired. And my wife was telling me, one of her friends that was in the church, they are always dreaming about devil, dreaming about otter. You know, she told my wife, he said, you know, I will have experience, spiritual experiences that are tormenting. I mean, she told my wife that sometimes they will sing in the choir and then the GO will say, you are not singing well today. You need deliverance. And they will go for deliverance. How, this is true. These are grown up. Our friends, they went to school together. Sometimes just can make up something, yeah. He said, you didn't sing well today. You need deliverance. And they go for deliverance in this particular house somewhere in Lagos. And one day she was shocked. You know, she was shocked. People that are doing deliverance for them, they are younger than her. They are giving the job. And he said, they give them prayer points. Oh yeah, stand again, clinical. And those guys will go outside, gisting, while they were doing all that. So she just stopped and said, me? Can you just imagine this? She packed her bag and left the church. You know the sad thing about it? They now went back to Orthodox Church in a way. Huh? You know, we are going to Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Anglican Church, African Church. They go back there. You know what? Maybe they are staying there. Huh? And she told my wife, he said, all those things stopped All those, every night, something. In fact, I'm sorry to say this. Forgive me. She started waking up when she had a prayer meeting with her house, and they asked their child to pray. And when the child opened up and said, die, 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 die. Because that's what the boy hears all the time. Now, see, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just telling you the experience of this other person. But see, the moment I step out of that, all that thing stopped. See, that's one experience over there. They just think that by their, they just can just walk that out, struggle with devil screams, kind of thing like that. Oh, this other one, I don't believe in devil. But I believe in great Christian life that knows that there is a devil and there's a heavenly father and there's enough power in God, in the gospel, to stop him. And that's where faith comes in. Hallelujah, somebody. Chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse 8. Let's read it. Praise the Lord. Now, let's start from verse 7. I want to show you something about balance. Are you here, everybody? Now, look at this verse here. Let's start from verse 6 to make it clear. Therefore, do what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Comma. How do you humble yourself? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Are you here? He cares for you. See, that's one side. That's one side. Humble yourself to God. Casting all your worry on him. But that's half of the package. Humble yourself to God. But don't carry that to life in the world. Next verse says this. Be sober. This same person who told us to be humble, to cast all our cares, sounds good. That's correct. But that's half. Then he said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So what do we do? Start making noise. Look at next verse. Womb resisting. How? Steadfast in noise, in the faith. Resisting. Steadfast. No, in the faith, not just in noise, in the faith. You know, you just put up your resistance. No, I'm not going that way. I don't think that way. Now, many of us can't do that. We don't know how to resist. We know how to make noise. We think that just making noise will do the job. Oh, mama, oh, mama. So you don't have to be talking all the time. You don't have to be talking. You don't have to be praying all the time. Humble yourself to God. When that comes from, resist. You're not resisting God. God's not your enemy. You don't put up your front. Praise God, somebody. You know, just refuse to let that thing rule over you. Don't think, Pastor doesn't face anything. A lot of times I come to service, I have problems. Physical, spiritual, something like that. Just resist. Just resist him. Pastor, why do you resist? Because God is not my problem. Tell somebody beside you, God is not your problem. Tell somebody beside you, God is not your problem. God is on your side. Tell him, God is with you. God is not against you. Let me tell him very well. God is not against you. God is for you. You see, when you are smiling, when you are happy, God is delighted. Huh? When you are painful, things are painful, things are horrible, things are... God is sad. And somebody else is angry, happy, the devil. So God said, resist him. So you don't want to resist the devil. God is not your problem. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Pastor, you are fighting tonight too. You're really fighting tonight. I have to fight that thing off you. You know, just stand together with us. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That you resist him steadfast. Well, if you resist him, listen, what will God do? Look at next verse. And the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and set to you. But you have to resist first. Now, let me say it how James said it now. You see, he said, first of all, humble yourself to God and do what? Resist the devil. Some Christians read that verse reverse. They resist God and humble yourself to the devil. Praise the Lord. You know, listen, let me give you an example. You know, God's telling you, give somebody, help them. Ah, God, I don't have time now. Please, I beg. You resist God. And then when I come with some trouble, I'm all alone. You know, we just reverse the role. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So let's get the conclusion now. How do we do this? James 4 verse 7. How would that give us the summary? Is what it say? James 4 verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Full stop. What's the next? Resist the devil and he will. Okay. Who will the devil flee from? The one who resists. Am I right? Okay. Beautiful. That's clear. Now tonight, we are not going to John 14. I have to bend to the whatever is going on now to help. I noticed that I started having questions about Romans and Corinthians. So it's better we handle what we just finished reading, Romans and Corinthians, and I was expecting there'll be some trouble, some sparks will fly from what you have read. You know, some people don't want to read the Bible, or some people don't want you to read the Bible because you're going to come up with questions. Because when you read the Bible, you find things there. The Bible can be a little bit, you know, kind of exciting. And if pastor don't want to answer the questions, you will not do that. So let me start. Did they give you some questions? Yeah, thank you. I got some questions that came on, so we'll just answer them. Okay. All right. In Corinthians particularly. Corinthians, can I surprise you? Before we start reading, hold on. Do you know that? This is amazing. If you read through Romans, evil was mentioned, good was mentioned. They never mentioned Satan until the end of the book. If you read through Romans, you notice that it was like a discussion at the table. And reasoning, I'm putting this, why must you be righteous? What happened to us? We are condemned. And he went through the whole story, then toward the end, the Romans said, the Lord will crush Satan under your feet. Right? So if you have any questions in Romans, get them ready today. If I'm going to start with this question given to me. Someone said one came from abroad, one came from inside here, so two of them, so I'll take care of them. And usually, it's the normal question we've been asking. So let's do that. But if you have another question, Corinthians and Romans, please send them forward. Let's start with this one that they gave. Okay, this person read this particular part in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 7. I'm struggling to understand how a man can have a fiancé for a long time, yet still remains a virgin. Because I live in the 21st century. That's your problem. And you can still choose not to marry her. He does well. He does the right thing. He does even better. Fantastic. Let's go down there. Now, let me drop this first. When you are reading the Bible, you are not actually the main person that I was read to. People tell you, Bible is love letter from heaven to you. That's true, finally. But it was to the Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, that we are just sitting down there to also eavesdrop and listen. And we are also listening because it's the same God, the same Father. Though different context, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said now? It's different context. I mean, I'm not a Corinthian. I'm a Abeokutayan. Is that a good one? I'm not a Corinthian. But I'm living here and I have certain things that we'll hear. Some things may not even actually speak to me that clearly. Let's see that in the Corinthians. Take a look. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. Before we come to this question. Take a look at this. Verse 10. Now, Paul start talking. Okay, let's start from verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saint, will all who are every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Look at this verse now. This is written to Corinthians, right? Second, they are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all. So he's talking to all of us here now. Are you hearing me? Are you sleeping with me? So we can see that this we can talk about ourselves like this. How many of you, Jesus Christ is your Lord? Can I see your hands up? Thank you. So you can see that. Then he said, grace to you, next verse, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That applies to all of us. Next verse. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God given to you by Christ Jesus. Let's go on. And I thank that you are enriched in everything by him in all utterance. And now, we are watching Paul talking with them now. And we are thinking that they were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. So I should be aiming toward getting enriched, yeah, and being able to speak with the richness of God and learning, knowing the richness of God. Let's go on reading. Now, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, he was talking to them, because he was with them before I said they're pastor. Let's go on. Then, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see that he was talking about gift. They were gifted in that church. They had gift. Which kind of gift you'll find out. Then he said, they were eagerly waiting for Christ to be revealed. So we have a hope that Christ will be revealed one day to our lives. Hallelujah. We share that with them. Let's go on quickly. You will also confirm. Who will also confirm you to the end? Stop there. How many of you have had the word before, confirmation? Uh-huh. What's that one? The bishop lay hands on you. But this one is, the Lord will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. I'm going somewhere. God is faithful. I love this verse. This verse has been one of my major verses over the year. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son. So when you became a Christian, you are called to fellowship. You are called to keep company. The word fellowship means to keep company. You are not called to live by yourself alone as a child of God. Give us a Message Bible, this verse. Then New Living Translation, we will see that. Uh-huh. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. God will do this, for he's faithful to do what he says. He has invited you into what? Oh, glory to God. Tell him, I'm a partner with Jesus in the venture of life. Praise God. I'm not alone. Woo! Learn something right now. See, that's the real Bible. Then he kept on talking. What happened next? Now, the scene changed now. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no division among you. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. What's going on? For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now, this is happening in Corinthian church. I'm watching. I'm learning. And so, now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Let's stop there. Oh. So there's a problem over there. Is there any Chloe's household over here? There's no Chloe's household over here. But we can learn from what's happening. Paul started talking to them. In the same way, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Let's go down there. So read the Bible. As I say, read the Bible intelligently. Not just read the Bible like as if you are swallowing APC or something. Or no, Panadol, you know, just close your eyes and swallow it. No, you read it with intelligence. Now, chapter 7 of the 1 Corinthians, one of the tedious chapters to read in the Bible, because it's too practical. Paul got practical. Churches today don't get practical. If you see our assembly, we're the home of practical Christianity. It's very easy just to come to church and live in that Alice in Wonderland. Praise God. Verse 1 says this. 7 verse 1. Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, is it good for a man? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay? You know, that doesn't mean I should not touch somebody. It means that man touch that is touch. Are you understanding? Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. First of all, let me tell you about the Corinthian church. Corinthian church was one of the morally depraved cities in their world that time. Corinthian was so bad, they have all kinds of goddesses they worship. They even have a temple in the city where they have what they call girls that serve in the temple. Several thousand of them. These girls are temple prostitutes. Men will go and sleep with them. That's what they do. They even wear their shoes. I'm telling you from history now. They wear their shoes and you will see their brand name under their shoes. So you can follow them in the start to know where they are. It's like Amsterdam. What they call Red District. If you go to Amsterdam, it's a red district where all the prostitutes, you know, advertise their wares. Not W-E-R-S. W-A-R-E. You know, see that kind of a thing. Corinth was like that. It was a seaport. Every kind of evil takes place. So they live immoral life. they drink. In fact, if somebody is bad, they said, who has Corinthianized you? Corinthianized is the word for making you really bad. I hope you are listening. So, and God sent Paul there to have a church. Hey, so normally, there are temptations to be their former life. I mean, sex culture is so loose there, you don't have to get married. You just find somebody. The temple is full of it. Religious system is all about that. So, then I wrote Paul a letter. Okay, you see, when you have that kind of society like that, people tend to extreme. Like I just told you about, there's no devil. Devil is everywhere. So in that church in Corinth, some people said, okay, since sex be so loose like this, since so just get away from it altogether. Don't ever touch a woman. Don't ever. Because touch is everywhere. Let's renounce touching. Do you know I had a case like that? I mean, years ago, my wife and I, we went to a church, Capital Assembly, in Abuja to minister around relationships. And one pastor came from HOTR in London. I've forgotten his name now. And he said, they have some young men in their church. Please listen to this. This is helpful. And he said, this young man married a lady in church and refused to sleep with her because sex is bad. You know, and that's true. The way you talk about sex today in church makes you think that it's something terrible, something horrible, something horrifying. Even the culture is taboo about it. So when this guy got married now, he won't touch his wife. And the pastor said to him, she's not your sister any longer. She's your wife. You know, the same thing happens today. See, some of these people, they think that you should not talk about sex marriage. It's not holy. It's talk about fasting all the time and don't move around anybody. Huh? Some people, you must not even touch money. Some of these guys, if you are very holy, you won't touch any money. Jesus had a treasure. Praise God. Are you here with me? So Paul was saying that if you want to be safe in that area, let each man have his own wife. Let each woman have her own husband. Of course, our culture is turning toward that Corinthian thing now. Our culture is turning toward there. Are you following me? Now, and so Paul started talking about all these things going on like that. He started talking about home. Let's look at that next verse. Talking about people that are married. Let the husband now. He's talking about husbands now and their home. So let's move down. Next verse. Talking about home now. Now, stop there. Go back. Now, for I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God. And one in this manner, and another in that. This verse just kind of locates us down now. He's talking about people that are married. Now, Paul said, I wish all men as myself. Paul was not married. Are you hearing me? So he said, I wish everybody's like me. If you're not married, all this thing will torment all of us. But he said, now I love this. This is when I first heard it, it shocked me. He said, each one has his own gift. So each one of us, speaking maritally, you have been distributed. And I think 90% of us are distributed toward not being like Paul. I tried to be like Paul, but my wife made me sing. Because she was too pretty. And I had to go for her. I would be like John the Baptist, but it didn't work out. Thank God it didn't work out. I would have died earlier. John died earlier. 6 months preached and left this world. Praise God. Okay, I was just joking. So what I'm saying in essence is this. You know, people that feel sexual drive, nothing wrong with you. According to Paul. And if you don't feel anything, nothing wrong with you. That's just your gift. What kind of gift is that? Paul call it gift. So next verse said this. So I'm trying to trace you. But I said to the unmarried and to the widows. Now, the unmarried are those who are not married. Either they are married, that they are not. What's the word I want to use? They are not. They are married and then unmarried. Like now, you can't uninstall what is not installed. I don't know if you have apps on your phone. If I say uninstall, that means it has been installed before. So it means that these were married. Maybe they have decoupled, or it may be you are just single. And to the widows, that those who are widows, that means they have lost their husbands. living, it's good for them if they remain even as I am. What was Paul like? Paul didn't have any wife. Interesting. But, look at next verse. But if they cannot exercise self-control because they are guilty like that, let them marry. It's better to marry than to burn with passion. You know? Okay, so let's go on the next verse. It's so much to carry on. Now to the married, I command. So start talking. Let's go to the next verse. And 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 next verse. Let's go to verse 25. Now, concerning virgins. Now, they call all those who are not married that time virgins. Are you hearing me? I know what you are thinking about virgins now. They're no longer virgins. I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet, I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Now, let me shock you. You see, today, we have all kinds of books for singles. Are you hearing me? Singles that, single this, single 101, 201, 301, 401. Before you marry, 101. You have all kinds of books. Can I tell you the truth? Those books really are just our own ideas and our thoughts and our help for you. They are not God's commandment. You hear what you said? He said, for the concerning virgins, I don't have a commandment for you. Huh? Interesting. This is how to marry. This is how to meet. 101 steps to. People have been marrying without steps. Are you hearing me? Dr. Liba, can I ask him? Stakemi, tell us your story. Mr. Gabi. They marry all kinds of ways that God is peculiar with them. Some of you, it was love at first sight. Some of you, it was love after 1,000 sights. Huh? Some of us recommended. Some of us not recommended. Some of us, we travel, we met. Some of us didn't travel, we met. You know, all kinds. So God determines that. We can just write all those books. We can only pray that God will work things out the way he wants. For each family, he knows our ways. Can we clap our hands for Jehovah God? Hallelujah. And I want to send this warning. Nobody marries a perfect wife or a perfect husband. Huh? If you have a wife that never has a problem, it's not a human being. If you have a husband, never has any issue. So we learn to manage life. Okay, let's go on now. Beautiful. I suppose, look at this verse. This verse is dangerous. It's there. I suppose that, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress. That's good for a man to remain as he is. Now, this verse can be misunderstood. Paul was saying, you see, there was some problem in Corinthian church. Some earthquake, I'm not sure. Life was difficult. There was a famine. So Paul said, with this present distress, singles, don't think of marriage. You can't even get enough food to eat. You go and give back to, have you seen these people out there in the world? Have you seen them? Oh, have you seen them? This people that are uneducated, they are struggling to eat and they're giving back again. Say, Yarabisha. You know, they just got one room to stay. And the next thing, they got two twins, making four. So Paul said, it's good for him to remain as he is in this present distress. See, this is just practical. I was talking to them. They're facing famine and stuff like that. Let's keep on reading. Are you bound to a wife? Don't seek to be loose in that same distress. Don't give up your wife. Are you loose from a wife? Don't seek a wife. Okay, you know, this is not a recommendation theology. This is practical issues. Praise the Lord. You know, if you call the pastor, I want to marry. Where are you staying? I'm staying with my dad. Uh-huh. What are you bringing home? Nothing. Uh-huh. Do you stay in the same house? You know, we have one room. Me and my daddy, that's where we stay. How much do you collect? I trust God. You're marrying next month. Jacob, you need deliverance. I've never seen other places, you know, need deliverance. You know, you can do that. There are things to do. Anybody who's married, they know that there are a lot of complications in marriage, difficulties, things you have to take care of. You just can't just want to be married. Now you see them wearing the same clothes. It's more than that. Okay. Enola, am I correct? Just freshly married. Praise God. Okay. Do not seek a wife. Next verse. And if you do marry, you have not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I will spare you. You know, you can go ahead and still say, want to marry with one room and 10K every month. You can still marry. But brother, sisters, you come for casting a lot. Pray. Yeah, you pray. Sometimes it's good to pray at the top of the barrel, at the bottom of the barrel. You understand what I'm talking about? You know, so that's there. Now, there's another side of it that you must not get to think that until I have all the cars in the world and best houses. Paul was talking like this. This is the culture over there. Now, let's go to that verse that person quoted. Let's go. I'm going to see if I can answer other questions with this. But if I, you know, look at this verse. Okay, what's the verse before this verse? Give us. Next verse before this verse. Now, this is another confusion verse over here. Should we read the verse before this one too? I want to touch something together about marriage and the struggles of marriage. Paul was very, very careful with this. That's verse 33. Let me look at my Bible over here. Yeah, verse 32. Give us the verse 32 before this one. Now, I want you to follow this story. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried, what does he do? He cares for the things of the Lord. How he may please the Lord. Next verse. But he who is married cares about the things of the world. How he may please his wife. Is that bad? Not really bad. Marriage is distracting. If you don't believe me, don't get married. Another. Getting distracted already now. Praise God. Now before, you woke up in the morning, Shanda, hallelujah, glory. Now you wake up, what are you going to eat? Huh? That's where it is. You know, say, dear, take care of yourself. Hallelujah. God is good this morning. No longer single. Right? That's the way it is. That's life. Praise God. And you're going to be, that's a good distraction. Let's go to the next verse. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The married woman cares about the things of the Lord, as may be holy both in the body and in the spirit, but she who is married cares about the things of the world. You know, I don't hear this about among the singles. I don't hear that, man, about I want to just serve the Lord. I just only hear about I'm looking for somebody to marry. That's all right. But those who are married are taken up out of the field. You know, let's go to the next verse quickly. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a lease on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Everybody who is a single person over here, that moment is golden for you. Use it now before the prison will come. You know, those days when I was a single person, I can pick my bag around 10 o'clock. P.M. I'm led by the Lord. I'm going to Ibadan. And I'll believe God for transportation and get down there. Today, if I get up around 6 o'clock, not even 10, and I say, I'm going, I have to say, where are you going? Then when I don't tell her the truth, she'll call my children. Ask your daddy, where is he going? Like, Gomelo, you know, that kind of a thing. Now, I'm in prison now. It's a good prison. Praise God. Okay, let's keep reading. But if anyone think, now, see, without all that thought in your head, life is difficult right now. There's famine. There are issues. Marriage will distract you. But if you believe that truth, that's fine. But in all that, if any man think he's behaving improperly toward his virgin, if he's past the flower of your youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not say, let him marry. Now, let me drop this for you. This is Bible now. This is history Bible now. This is, if you look at the context around this. In those days, people don't marry at 25. Not at 23. They marry 15, 16, 17. I told you, that's Corinthian culture. Don't ever think Holy Mary, 35 years old. When you see the picture of Mary, usually she looks like somebody 35 years old, just finished delivering children. And it's like that, she looks heavy. But it was less than, it was around 10. It was around 16, 17. If you get to 20 and not married, what's in there? Huh? They don't live as long as we live now. Somebody's old man by 50, 60. I'm talking about, we're not old at 60, we're not old. We're just starting life, correct? So life is getting elongated now. There's nothing wrong with that. You know that now they are learning how to scientifically even preserve the body, preserve the eggs. They're doing all kinds of things now. So we are living our own context. But that's that question. So if you believe that life is distracting, not getting married, and then you go and visit your fiancé, and your body is still moving. Okay, I agree that it is not, but your body is moving. So Paul said, and the lady is going past the flower of her age. Let him do what he wishes. Does not sin, let them marry. Do you understand that? Next verse. He who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, has power over his own will, has no time that he will not keep his virgin, does well. So this is what he's saying over here, simply. Let's put it like this. Let's apply to our own situation now. You plan to, you know, you are fiancé, you are dripping your hand, you move around, you don't feel anything so much, you just, but every time now that you are together, and start kissing, and start repenting,